Open up your Bibles. Let me make sure here where I want to go. To Mark chapter 16. I've said this before, but right here's a perfect example of it. There's snake insurance in the Bible. Did you know that? Snake insurance. You live in West Texas. You should take out a little snake insurance policy. How do you do that? By going to the Bible, to Mark chapter 16, verse 18, it says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And that doesn't mean you pick these snakes up and play with them. That's not what was going on. When Paul got in the shipwreck and he washed up on this island, it was kind of cool because all these islanders, they said, this is a cursed man. God must be mad at him because he had almost drowned and he washed up on this island, you know. So they were building a fire and Paul reached down to pick up a stick and a serpent bit him on the arm. I mean, he took up a serpent. He didn't pick up a snake. The snake bit him. And he shook it off, and nothing happened. So these islanders are sitting there scratching their heads, said, this guy is a cursed man because this snake bit him. But then they watched him for a little bit, and he didn't start doing the dying chicken. So then they said, this guy's God. So he got a chance to preach the gospel to him on that island, you know. But here's the thing. That's not just for the apostles. That was not just for the early believers. This is a Bible promise for everybody that's born again. That's cool. We're going to run into the covenants of promise. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But look, this right here, Mark chapter 16, verse 18, says they shall take up serpents. If you get bit, you got snake insurance. It shall not hurt you. Now, you're going to have to meditate on that a little bit. Get that a part of your heart and get it in there. So, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. What's his name?
Vance.
We plead the blood of Jesus over Vance. Father, we ask you that, you know where Vance stands spiritually. We ask you that if he needs to be born again, that you would send somebody into Vance's life at just the right time to preach the gospel to him so that he'd hear it and receive Jesus as his Lord. We come against that copperhead bite and we curse that venom. We command it to be null and void in his life. We ask you to show him your mercy and grace so that he can see that the love of God, the mercy of God, and the goodness of God flow into his life so that he can turn to you and receive you as his Savior. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see that? You find the Bible promise and you make it yours by meditating on it. You know? Now don't come in here carrying a snake. That's just not going to happen. Okay. Can I have a couple of volunteers help me with the communion? And we'll proclaim the Lord's death, and in doing so, we'll be proclaiming the devil's defeat. So we're going to receive our healing and our well-being from this. Paul said to rightfully discern the body of Christ. And when you do that, there's healing involved in that. You notice this bread, we're going to discern the body of Christ by looking at this bread and seeing what happened to Jesus. This bread is without yeast. It's made without yeast. Jesus' body is certainly sinless. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. His sinless body. And this bread was beaten. Jesus was certainly beaten and bruised for our transgressions. This bread has stripes in it, and it's by His stripes that we were healed. This bread also has been pierced. Jesus was pierced, and in fact, everywhere Jesus shed His blood, there's redemption paid for us in some area. Just bow your head for just a second. There's somebody that needs to receive this. And you've been fighting some anxiety and some fear and some depression. And you know this, that when Jesus went to the Rock of Gethsemane, that He sweat blood. He sweat that blood out of His forehead. And we got our willpower back on that. Also, through the new birth, we get the mind of Christ. And when we cast our cares over onto Him, we can have peace in our soul. So whoever wants that receives that in Jesus' name. This bread also has been slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Him. The wrath that was meant for us was laid on Him. And His body was broken. So we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. We praise You for it. He shed His blood. And it was not only for the remission of our sins, but His blood sealed in the New Testament promises for us. And there's protection in His blood. You should plead the blood of Jesus. Did you know that when you go to sleep at night, you can plead the blood of Jesus over your mind so that when you go to sleep, you no longer have these bad dreams. And you can sleep peacefully all night long. In Jesus' name, we take this. All right. Praise God. Communion is fun when you take it following the directions out of the Bible. Amen. And you can take it as often as you will. I guess we can have children's church as long as you're this tall or shorter. You got to be this tall or shorter. If you're this tall, you got to stay with me. Are you this tall? Oh, you're shorter. They weren't even going to take the test. Well, praise God. Open your Bible up to the book of John, chapter 19. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. He shows us how to rightfully divide Your word of truth. He shows us how to get the revelation out of it. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank You for this. We praise You for this. We ask You that as we look into Your word, that that word will come alive in our hearts as a rhema word. We'll walk in it, live in it. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bear with me for just one second. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know where this is going, but there's somebody that's going to catch us on video or somebody listening that has received a tremendous amount of abuse in your past. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus will heal your broken soul, your shattered soul. He'll go into the innermost, deepest parts of you and heal those hurts and wounds. You ask Him to come into, you ask the Holy Spirit to come into those places. Come in there by the blood of Jesus and heal those spots. Heal those places of abuse. Ask Him to do this and trust Him to do it. And turn it over to Him. Cast your cares over onto Him. In Jesus' name. You can say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Holy Spirit, I ask You to shine a light on these dark spots that I've kept hidden for so many years, that have kept me wounded for so many years. Jesus, I ask You to heal these places in me. Cover these wounds the way only You can. No man can fix this. Only You. So I invite You this day to come into these places and make the wrong things right. I thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. John chapter 19, verse 30. Remember, Jesus was on the cross. And this was the last word He said on the cross. He said, "It is finished." It wasn't just His sufferings. It wasn't just His passion. It wasn't just the crucifixion. There was a whole bunch of things that came to an end. At that very moment, Jesus fulfilled it. He made so many things happen at that very minute. And we don't even realize it. Amen. You know, the last time we studied on this, we found out that He fulfilled the Scriptures. You know, there was a lot of things that were prophesied about Him, and He fulfilled it that day. And the defeat of Satan came about that day. And the next thing we're going to find out is about this middle wall of partition. See, there was a division. There was the Jews were on one side of this wall, and the Gentiles were on the other side of this wall at the temple, you know, to get to the presence of God. You know, the Gentiles were treated like dogs. And there was a sign actually out there on that outer wall of the temple that said, "Any Gentile caught beyond this point, it would be better off if you were just dead. You were not allowed into the presence of God, and were not to be mixing in with God's people." They were separated from the world. You might say they were sanctified from the world. See, we can learn something from that. When we get born again, we get set apart from the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get out amongst the people, because they're not going to get born again if you don't. But, you know, hook elbows with them and go everywhere they go and do everything they do. Amen? It's okay to be around them. Just don't hang with them. Amen? It's breaking down in the middle wall of the partition to make Jews and Gentiles one. Have you ever thought about that? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, why would that be such a big thing? I'm going to show you why that is a huge thing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There's a great inheritance involved. In fact, this is a prayer right here that you can pray for, not only for yourself, but for your loved ones. You know, juniors out there running around being an idiot. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, circle this. This is how you pray for your kid that's running around not following the right way. Pray that they receive wisdom, revelation, come to understanding who they are. Amen. Now, while we're right there, go to chapter 3, verse 6. Oops. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. See, the Jewish people, they had this great covenant with God. They had, and God had blessed them with some mighty promises. And we were not part of that. You know, before you got born again, you were a Gentile. Unless you happen to be Jewish. You were a Gentile. But we were separated from those promises. Amen. And God promised the Jewish people this great inheritance. Some of them walked in it. Some of them didn't. But we were not part of that until Jesus got here. Now, the Bible tells us that you are fellow heirs, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, there's people that will stand to you and argue until they're out of breath, trying to convince you that these promises in the Bible were for the Jewish people and not you. But right there it says you're fellow heirs. The promise was made to Abraham. See, get this right. The promises were made to Abraham and his seed. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, judging yourselves. Oops, I'm sorry. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Once you get born again, guess what? You're in the body of Christ. You got baptized. Did you know that? That's the one baptism necessary to salvation. Get born again, say, Jesus, be my Lord. Once you get born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ. That's God's design. 7,500 different denominations is not God's design. That's the spirit of division. The world calls it racism or whatever they want to call it. It's the spirit of division. Keep me and you bickering back and forth so we can't come into agreement on anything and get something done. You see how that works? Amen. Now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male nor female, for we are all one in Christ." He looks at you as the body of Christ. Remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was riding his donkey and he was going along, and Jesus said, and Jesus knocked him off his donkey and said, "Paul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" There's no record in the Bible of Paul, of Saul ever laying a hand on Jesus. But he considered all born again believers his body. And he said, "You're persecuting these Christians." Basically, he said, well, that's what Paul's job was at the time. You know, he was a terrorist. He had a license to kill. He had a license to handcuff people and Christians and take them to prison. That was his job. He was a bad dude. But Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me, the body of Christ?" Amen. Jesus considers you the body of Christ. Well, we're right there. See, God doesn't see you as different. Amen? Now, jump over here to verse 13. And we just took the communion, and we've been talking about the cross. Verse 13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles." See, those blessings coming upon you because of the cross. "Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." I had a pastor try to convince me that that was just spiritual blessings. No. Every time you read that verse, read verse 29. It says, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, because we get born again, we become Abraham's seed. What did we fall heir to? You know, with Melchizedek, the priest, he come down there and he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing left out. That's what you fell heir to. Everything. The Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. What do you need? The Bible tells us that he prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemy. We just need to belly up to the table. Receive our healing. Receive our finances. Receive our protection. Receive our whatever it is you need. You know, there's women that have received children. There's men that have received spouses. Women have received spouses. Whatever it is you need, go to your Father and ask him in faith and confidence and receive your blessing. Amen? Now, there's somebody that's going to say, "Well, now, if that's true, why didn't I get 10,000 oil wells?" Well, guess what, Slick? He didn't promise you 10,000 oil wells. But he did say that the gold under those hills do belong to him. And if you believe that you receive, you shall have it. He didn't say that you're going to receive everything you pray for. He says you're going to receive what you believe you receive. Amen. There's cuckoos on both sides of the aisle here. I mean, there's someone say, that's just that name it and claim it stuff. You should never follow that. I said, well, if you can't follow name it and claim it, you can't be born again. That's how you got born again. You said what you believed in your heart. Amen? And then we got people that are running around just naming and claiming stuff that they don't have any business naming and claiming. You know, one lady went to Kenneth Copeland's office, went in there and said, God told me you're going to be my husband. Kenneth said, I'm married. Gloria come in. And this woman said, God told me Kent's going to be my husband. Gloria said, yeah, well, I got a piece of paper that says he belongs to me. Now get your butt on out here. She didn't. So they just closed the door, locked the place up, went home. Come back next day, let her out. She sure enough went that time. Amen. All of Romans chapter 10 talks about this breaking down of the wall of partition and making two one. It's a mystery that God talked about this in the Bible. The man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. That's a picture of the church. We become one with Christ. You know, we become one with the church. You know, and in the same way the Jews became one with us, we came one with them. We got grafted into the body of Christ. Amen? Now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It says that at the time you were without Christ, that means you weren't born again, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. That's where you're going to get your peace from him. But now, if you'll open up, don't go there now, but if you'll open up to Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll just go there because it's fun. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 13, God talks about these promises. And you got to understand this. Whenever they cut a covenant, they take these animals and they cut these animals in half, these carcasses in half, and they put them in this trough. And all the blood and the guts and the goo was down in this trough. So these people that were cutting the covenant, when they got in there, they walk through these covenant pieces in figure eight circles. Figure eight circles. A never ending, it never ends. A figure eight never ends. That's where these guys come up with the rings. It's a never ending thing. It's a covenant mark. Wedding rings. But they made this covenant. And they would walk through these pieces and they pronounced the cursings and the blessings. They'd say, they'd go through there and they'd say, if you follow this covenant to a T, you do everything you said you was going to do, these are the blessings. And this is what God said. Shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all these commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, and in all that you set your hand unto, he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, and he has sworn unto you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you this day to observe and do them. And then the rest of that chapter is the cursings. They'd walk through those carcasses and pronounce the cursing. Now get this. Abraham was cutting this covenant with God, but when it came to walk around in there and pronounce the blessings and cursings and seal this deal, and God laid Abraham off to the side in a deep sleep. Thank God. Jesus got in there and walked that walk with God, because he's the only one that could have walked that walk without getting himself fried. Jesus, our covenant head, walked that walk. And because he did that and got on that cross, you qualify for all of those blessings. And you don't qualify for any of those cursings. The only way that happens is if you decide that you're going to earn your own righteousness. Paul said, don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't pick up the law. Don't do that. How would we pick up the law today? I'm not going to do the things the Bible tells me I'm not supposed to do. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. Therefore, I'm good enough. No, you're good enough because of the blood of Jesus. Here's how you stay in grace. Jesus, I look unto you. You're my sanctification. You're my righteousness. The only way I can beat this sin that's in front of me is to receive the gift of grace, the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness. I'm counting on you, Jesus. Your victory is mine. Amen? Because I know from personal experience, I can't beat that sin. But you did on that cross. My life is hid in you, and I am depending on you to get me through this temptation. Amen? Isn't that much better than trying to muster up enough willpower to do something on your own? Amen? Now you see the difference between trying to keep the law and trying to keep grace. The Bible Belt is so full of this baloney. They call it preaching sin. They want to hear how hot hell is, and they want the preacher to preach sin. I actually had a guy here tell me that. Said, this preacher won't preach sin. They got rid of him. I'll tell you what happens. I've dealt with a lot of people that come out of those circumstances. Some of them hate God. They grew up in church. They're so tired of it, they can't live the way that preacher tells them to live. They can't do the things that preacher tells them to do. They figure, I can't win, then I'm not going to try. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live in sin because I'm going to fry anyway. I've talked to people in those shoes. They finally just get tired of it and they say, I'm done. And people that are absolutely afraid of God. And they had sin preached at them so much that they have no confidence before God. That's not God. That's the law. That's religion. God's way is, come unto me. Jesus said, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. You'll realize that the goodness of God causes men to repent. It turns people to God. When they see how good God is, when they see that God is not mad at them, that he does not expect you to keep the law, that's why he sent Jesus, and he put him on the cross, so he could redeem you from that, so that you could receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and rule and reign over these problems that you have, so you could cast these cares over onto Jesus, the one person that actually can defeat your problems. Amen? Doesn't that make your ear itch? Look, folks, here's the deal. Jesus is the only one that can do the things that we've been trying to do. Amen? So when you get a revelation of the cross and what he has done for you on that cross, and you receive of that, pretty soon you'll find yourself walking in a whole new revelation of life. Amen? He'll take desires from you and replace them with good desires. How'd that happen? Feeding on him, getting in the Bible and learning of him, abiding in the vine. You know, we need to cast our eyes upon Jesus. Here's a curious thing. Have you ever wondered about that serpent in the Old Testament? That brass serpent? The guys got, the children of Israel, they rebelled against God and they got in trouble. And these serpents come up, bit them. And they were in trouble. They cried unto Moses. They said, get us out of this bind. We're in trouble. Do about this. Take this brass serpent and lift it up on a pole. How in the world could you possibly compare that to Jesus? Here's the deal. Brass is significant as sin in the Bible too. And when they looked up there and they seen their sin judged on that pole, when they cast their eyes up there, when they beheld that, they got healed. The ones that didn't look to that died. You look to Jesus. He's been lifted up on that pole. You look to him and see all of your sins, see all of your sicknesses, see all of your challenges laid on him and judged on that cross. And watch him heal you. Watch him save you. Well, I'm already born again. How is he going to save me? Salvation means everything a man needs. Not just born again. Healing, provision, protection, deliverance. All this stuff. Everything that God has freely given us with Jesus is wrapped up in him. We cast our eyes upon him and watch him save us. Amen? Let him be God to you today. Let him be the good shepherd for you today. Amen? find out how Christian your God really is. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's the best Father in the whole universe. Amen? He coined this word, Jesus did. He called it agape love. People try to say they operate in agape love. But here's agape love. It's covenant love. And if some, one of the things they would do in a covenant sometimes is they'd take sheep from each other's flock and mix them. They'd swap clothes. See, you got that when Jesus, when you got born again, he swapped clothes with you. He took your dirty rags of righteousness and gave you a robe of righteousness from him. Amen. But a thing about a covenant, Americans have a hard time understanding this. A covenant never ends. A covenant never ends. Americans sign contracts all the time. And they say, well, contracts made to be broken. I mean, there'll be somebody signing a contract looking for a way out of it before the ink dries. You know, or a way to change it, you know. And unfortunately, they've got marriage they've got these marriage contracts, they call them now. No? I'm telling you a whole different thing. It's about agape love, and they call it a covenant. When you got married, you cut a covenant. You're in a covenant. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for all these mighty, mighty blessings and freedoms that you have bestowed upon us because of Jesus. We thank you for everything that he has done for us in his cross, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We thank you that as we take your word in our heart, that it does take root. It produces fruit in your kingdom, some 30, some 60, some hundredfold return on your word, that your word will magnify out of us into the world around us and cause things to happen, not only for us, but for the people around us, so they can receive your love, your salvation. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah.